good morning. That's as good a way as any to bring this unruly crowd to order. Don Lipset remarked at the membership breakfast yesterday that since I had the privilege of serving as president of this society between Leonard Liggio's two terms, that I stood as Benjamin Harrison to his Grover Cleveland. But the analogy does not end there. I happen to be collaterally related to Benjamin Harrison, and Leonard Liggio has clearly modeled himself after Grover Cleveland's gargantuan appetite for life. But all good analogies come to an end, and it was noted to me that Grover Cleveland and Benjamin Harrison had more hair on their upper lips than I have on my entire head. Which brings me to half of our panelists. I was once told that a man loses his hair up front because he's highly sexed, and that he loses his hair on top because he's a thinker. Now, from this insight, I deduce that one of our panelists thinks, another is sexy, and the other two think that they are sexy. Now, they will be introduced with proper dignity in just a moment. Our topic this morning invokes the title, of course, of Barry Goldwater's hard-hitting polemic, The Conscience of a Conservative. As almost all of you know, I'm sure it was actually Bill Buckley's brother-in-law, Brent Bozell, who wrote the book. And Bozell has been frequently asked to sign copies, and he usually inscribes them, "His conscience, not mine." But the conscience is that faculty of mind that guides one toward the right. It follows that the operation of the conscience is dependent on conviction, based on fundamental principles, which enable the conscience to discern between right and wrong. Now, the author of The Conscience of the Conservative observed that modernity had declared conservatism out of fashion. And now I quote from that book. "That charge is preposterous, and we ought boldly to say so. The laws of God and of nature have no dateline. Conservative principles are derived from the nature of man and from the truths that God has revealed about his creation. Circumstances do change, so do the problems shaped by circumstances, but the principles that govern the solution of the problems do not." So the conscience of a conservative then was a call for a politics based on principle, rather than the debased pragmatism that so many Republicans pursue then and now. But knowing what is right is clearly not enough, and conscience also impels us to act upon conviction. It's the courage of one's convictions that animates the conservative conscience. The dying Hamlet realized that he would have suffered in vain if the world didn't learn from his story. So when he asked Horatio to tell his tale of woe, he said to him, "Absent thee a while from felicity." And the conservative acting upon conscience must be willing at certain times to absent himself from felicity. There are moments that in order to save hearth and home, we must absent ourselves a while from hearth and home. The ebb and flow of history teaches that there will always be times when malign forces gather to threaten human freedom and the unbought grace of life that makes that freedom worth having. At those times, conscience impels the conservative to ride to the sound of the guns. It was such a moment at a crucial juncture in human events, a few hundred yards from this place, that our fathers pledged not just their convictions, but their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Now, there's no event in the history of the modern conservative movement that rises to the high drama of July 1776. And yet, the totalitarian character of the threat and the arms that that threat had recourse to rendered the stakes at least as high in our time. The last 50 years have been replete with tens of thousands of individual acts of conscience by the intellectuals, the political leaders, and the foot soldiers of the conservative revival. Together, those acts of conscience, so often performed at great personal cost, have transformed the world in our time and before our eyes. When Leonard and Don chose our four panelists this morning, they invited speakers who could have, of course, informed the topic, but who also have clearly answered the call of conscience in their own lives. I've been privileged to personally witness a number of their acts of courage as they have ridden to the sound of the guns. And I will introduce them all now in the order in which they will speak. You know them well, and I will be brief. Lee Edwards is senior editor of The World and I, president of the Center for International Relations, and adjunct assistant professor of politics at the Catholic University of America. Of his many publications, the one I mentioned today because of its relevance to our topic is Goldwater, The Man Who Made a Revolution, published by Regnery in 1995. Lee has recently been named president of the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, which will supervise the design and construction and operation of an international memorial in Washington to the more than 100 million victims of communism. Perhaps most interestingly for today's topic, he was director of information for Goldwater for President and was deputy director of public relations for the Republican National Committee during the 1964 presidential campaign. Morton Blackwell, I will read just the first page of this, is of course president of the Leadership Institute. He is executive director of the Council for National Policy. He was special assistant to President Reagan in the first term. He's Republican National Committeeman from Virginia. He speaks and publishes widely and is of course a longstanding member of this society. Ron Robinson is president of the Young Americas Foundation. He was our host last night at dinner. He's the publisher of Continuity, contributed to the Conservative Guide to Campus Activism. He has been president of the United States Youth Council. He is an attorney, but has the good grace not to practice. And Donald J. Devine is the former director of the U.S. Office of Personnel Management under Ronald Reagan. He is a Washington Times columnist, a writer, an adjunct scholar of the Heritage Foundation, and he is currently senior consultant to the Doe for President campaign. He has also spent 14 years of his life as a practicing professor. And has written all over everywhere, and but one of his books I'd like to mention is Reagan's Terrible Swift Sword. Don, as you remember, he was Republican nominee for Congress in Maryland's 5th District in 1994. Well, such are the dry facts of their curriculum vitae. That is not why they're here. The reason they're here because of qualities of mind and character that they have demonstrated over the course of their long careers. We will begin in the order that the program adverts to with Lee Edwards. Thank you, Lee.